opposites attract. And Jesus is holy, and I am evil born in sin. Jesus is perfect, and my heart is deceitful and desperately sick. So opposites. So opposites. Jesus pleases the Father, and I do not please the Father. Jesus is from above, I am from below. Jesus is true, I am false. Where Jesus goes, I cannot follow. Some understand this, some do not. Some hear, some cannot. So opposites. And what makes these opposites attract? What attracts these opposites? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't lean on your own understanding, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. Faith is not your own doing. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is a non-meritorious act. A non-meritorious act that God works in you to do his purposes, to do his will. God brings us to himself by himself. We call this sola fide, faith alone. God gets all the glory and we are comforted. He has all the power and we have peace. So opposites. Our text this morning begins with contrast. Opposites. Contrast. Look at verse 21. Chapter 8, 21. So Jesus said to them, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So opposites. The adverb again, the text says, so he said to them, again reminds us of the audience. It's been the same audience. He reminds us, John reminds us, that the Jews still don't understand Jesus. They've been confused all of chapter 7, all of chapter 8. So unbelief has been the context. The context of chapter 7 and 8 are unbelief. Again, we are dealing with unbelievers at the Feast of Booths. So we're dealing with those who hate Jesus at a celebration that was supposed to be all about Jesus. Unbelief is not an intellectual problem. It's a moral and religious problem. Listen to Paul in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Moral problem. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Moral problem. Unrighteous men suppress truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Now many raise intellectual problems against theism. Against God, they raise intellectual problems. Against his word, they raise intellectual problems. But in the end, the evidence is not the problem. Take the problem of evil, for example. How can a good God exist with evil in the world? If there's evil in the world, how can there be a God? The complaint rests on the observation that evil exists objectively. It's an objective truth. The complaint rests on the fact that evil is objectively true, which means evil, the idea of evil, is not influenced by personal tastes or feelings. We know it objectively. But how do we know objectively? There must be a lawgiver. A transcendent lawgiver is necessary for a standard of objective good that allows everyone to identify evil. If there is no God, then man's morality is the highest. Man's morality is the highest standard. And if man's individual morality is the highest standard, then evil can only really just be a matter of opinion. For example, Hitler loves to kill people. I love to save them. But how do we all know that Nazis are evil, except Elon Musk, obviously? How do we all know that Nazis are evil? How do we all know this? How do we know? Because a morally perfect God has written his law on our hearts. God must exist to make evil intelligible. So evil actually is the best evidence for God. Evil is the best evidence that God is there and he is not silent. We know. We hear his law. The problem with evil is that man doesn't think evil should exist. Evil shouldn't happen to him. Evil shouldn't happen around him because he's better than that. He's innocent. He's innocent. And he charges God with indecency. It is God who is on the it is God who's in the court of appeals, has stricken him guilty. So rejection of God is ultimately a moral issue, not an intellectual one. And so the Jews hated Jesus, not intellectually. They hated him because he came to them not as they wanted. He didn't come to them as they wanted. And so they tried to kill him. Look at verse 59, the end of chapter 8. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. What did they hate about chapter 8 so much that they wanted to kill Jesus? Well, the hatred begins in chapter 7. In chapter 7, Jesus said, "None of you keeps the law." So all of these very religious law-keeping people who thought they were righteous before God, Jesus says, "None of you keeps the law." And by that statement, he rips apart their doctrine of works righteousness. He tore away the doctrine of works righteousness, and he put in its place sola fide. And they hated him for it. As we will see in the coming weeks, as we explore the rest of chapter 8, we will see that Jesus made the Bible all about himself. He said that you only know the Father if you read the Bible Christologically. Christologically. And therefore, he affirmed the necessity of solus Christus, Christ alone. He affirmed the necessity of sola scriptura, the Bible alone. And sola fide, faith alone, because salvation comes sola gratia, by grace alone. And this takes away man's pride and vanity, so they hated him for it. The devil hates sola scriptura, but not the church. Listen to the fathers, Irenaeus of Lyon, who died in 202, so we're talking early church. Irenaeus said, We have learned from none others the plan of our salvation than those from whom the gospel has come down to us, which they did at one time proclaim in public, and at a later period, by the will of God, handed down to us in the scriptures to be the ground and pillar of our faith. Hippolytus, who died in 235, a contemporary of Irenaeus, said, "There is, brethren, one God, the knowledge of whom we gain from the Holy Scriptures and from no other source." The ground and pillar of the faith has always been sola scriptura. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So we look to no other source for Christian faith and life than sola scriptura. That's next week. Sorry, I'm getting ahead. I'm just so excited for next week's sermon. This week is sola fide, faith alone. But why does the devil hate the doctrine of sola scriptura? Why did he hate it so much that he caused these unbelievers to attempt to kill Christ? Because God's word alone leads to Christ alone and faith alone. And the devil, if he can destroy hope in God's word, if he can cause the church to not trust God's word completely, and then he can insert ideas into the church that are more palatable to a sinner. And what he does is he slips these ideas into the church that causes you to think that you're not so sinful. You're not that bad. You're not as bad as those reform types are telling you. You're not that bad. And so you can save yourself. If God helps you a little bit, he gives you a little help, and then you can save yourself. The devil wants to make you feel less sinful. And then you die in your sins because the truth is not in you. Again, that's next week. This week, sola fide. So back to our text. Jesus said, where he goes, they cannot come. Why can't they come? Because none keeps the law. He's already said it in chapter 7. They can't follow Jesus because none keeps the law. So they will die in their sins. Notice the text, they will die in their sins. That's a quote from the Old Testament. It's actually an expression that appears all throughout the Old Testament. It's a very Old Testament expression. You will die in your sins. Listen to Ezekiel, the prophet, 3:19 says, but if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his sins. Death because of sin means death because you're guilty. It means judgment. It implies judgment because we are unable to keep the law. None of you keeps the law. But Jesus did. None of you pleases the Father, but Jesus did. So opposites. Look at verse 29. That's how Jesus ends this story. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. The Father never leaves me because I please the Father. They cannot go where Jesus goes because they do not please the Father. We cannot please the Father because none keeps the law. But Jesus did. So opposites. Opposites. Get sin right and you get a Savior. Understand the problem of evil is my problem. You get a Savior. Understand sin. Understand the reason for evil, and then you beat your chest and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am evil born in sin. Then you walk away justified. By faith alone, we walk away clothed in the righteousness of Christ, redeemed from all our sins as if we have never sinned, but as if we have been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Get sin right, and you get a Savior. By faith alone, opposites attract. Verse 22. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says where I am going, you cannot come. So now they declare that there's opposites. They recognize that the Jews recognize that they are opposites from Jesus, but they are declaring their opposites because he's a sinner. They're not going to commit suicide. But then Jesus really explains the difference. Verse 23, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So opposites. They were from below and from this world. Jesus is from above and not of this world. So opposites. Where he goes, they cannot go because God is his Father and theirs is the devil. Look over to verse 44 right quick. Just jump over to 44. Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. They're opposites because Jesus does his father's will, and they do their father's will, the devil. So opposites. Jesus goes one way, they go another way. Jesus goes one way because he pleases the Father. They go another way because they please the devil. Jesus goes one way because he obeys the law. They go another way because none keeps the law. None of you keeps the law. I'm not speaking to just the Jews. It's none of you keeps the law. We are all sinners. So opposites. Turns out we're not so different from each other. And because of this difference, they will die in judgment. Verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you'd like to highlight Bible, highlight that adverb, unless. That unless makes all the difference. Opposites. You will die in your sins unless what? Sola fide. Unless you believe. Faith. That unless makes salvation by faith alone. Unless. He didn't add anything else there. Do you see? It's just unless you believe. He didn't say unless, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Unless you come and meet God halfway and he'll give you a little bit of grace through a sacramental system and then you can improve on it and you can earn your way. No, it's faith alone. Unless, adverb. Unless belief. That adverb supports belief. Unless faith. Faith is the act of salvation. The wrath of God abides upon those who do not believe. The wrath of God abides unless you believe. You see, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. This is Romans 2:5. Paul writes, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. They will die in their sins and face the wrath of a holy God. We will all die in our sins and face the wrath. I'm getting strong, tearing up my pulpit here. Got to stop working out. They will die in their sins and face the wrath of a holy God unless. Makes all the difference. This unless attracts opposites. We'll all face the judgment of holy God unless, and this contrastive adverb, unless, is salvation sola fide. And why is Christ so insistent on faith? Because we're opposites. We cannot go to heaven because we're opposites. God is holy and I am evil, born in sin. Jesus is perfect. My heart is deceitful above all things. So opposites. So opposites means salvation is not your own doing. Opposites means salvation is by God alone. Now notice it says, I am he. Unless you believe, I am he. In the original language, the predicate is missing. There is no predicate in the original. It just says, unless you believe, I am. Unless you believe, I am. I am is Yahweh's name in the Old Testament. You probably know that already. The covenantal name of God in the Old Testament, Abraham, right? God, who should I say sent me? Tell Israel, I am, has sent me to deliver you. I am delivers. No predicate. And so the question is begged in the Old Testament. I am what? Let's surprise Abraham to go, English lesson, there needs to be a predicate. I am what? It's an incomplete, it's fragment. That's a fragment. I am. But the Old Testament leaves it open. I am. And then Jesus answers, I am the light. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. So you must believe in Christ. Sola fide, solus Christus, Christ alone. Unless you believe Christ alone is your Savior, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe Christ is your only comfort in life and in death, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe there is no other Savior, no other salvation than Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. Faith alone, in Christ alone, receives our salvation. That means in Christ, no matter your sin or your sinful struggles, Pastor, I have sins, I have sinful struggles, I will say, yep, none of you keeps the law. So when you come asking me, you know, I don't know if I'm a Christian because I struggle with my sin, I'll say, yeah, same. I don't keep the law either. I'm worried about my lack of transformation, Pastor Jared. Yeah, so am I. None of you keeps the law. But Christ did. So opposites. No matter your sins or your sinful struggles, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are delivered from destruction and have the gift of eternal life. Opposites. Opposites. 25. So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I've not changed my message," Jesus says. "I've been saying the same thing over and over again." They're confused. And then Jesus says, "But I will tell you more. I have much to say about you, and it won't be pretty. And I have much to judge. I have much to say, I have much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. And what he will declare to them, what he will declare to the world, what he has heard from the Father, is that we are opposites. We are all in sin, and so he will condemn the world in sin." In the rest of this chapter, he is going to condemn the world in unbelief. And he will condemn the world to die in their sins unless. But he'll always add the unless. Because he's merciful. God is just, but he's likewise merciful. And we cling to his mercy. Don't cling to his justice. Because none of you keeps the law. Cling to his mercy. He will proclaim sola scriptura, sola gratia. And he speaks solus Christus because he speaks the truth. But they didn't understand, verse 27. So they said to him, "Who are you? What I've been telling you, I have much to say." Verse 27, they do not understand. This is John now, John speaking about what's going on. John says, "But they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. And they didn't understand because they didn't have faith. If they would have known that he was speaking about the Father, if they would have had faith, they would have known that he's talking about God the Father. Because God the Father is only known by the mind of faith. And by the mind of faith, we receive the things of God. And by the hand of faith, we receive Christ, and his righteousness becomes my righteousness. And I am righteous before a holy God, not because I keep the law, but because I believe in the law keeper, the Savior. The mind of Christ. By faith I received the cross of Christ." Verse 28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Jesus says here, the cross makes salvation known. The cross makes truth known. The cross makes the gospel known. It makes God the Father known. It makes Christ known. And the cross gives us our faith. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. The cross lifts us to God because none of you keeps the law. The cross says victory, but not by power. Victory not by power, but weakness. So opposites. It says life by death, so opposites. It says faith alone, for we are faithless, but he is faithful, so opposites. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that means opposites too, by the way. He didn't mean Christ strengthens me to bend metal bars to escape or tear phone books in half to amaze a crowd. He didn't mean that Christ makes me strong so I can claim that promotion at work. He didn't mean Christ makes me strong so I could take my sweetheart to myself and marry her. He didn't mean Christ makes me strong so I can overcome the cancer that's killing me. He didn't mean Christ makes me strong so that I can overcome. It's not glory. It's cross. It means even when I die of cancer, even when my body's being raged by cancer, I can say, thy will be done. Isn't that the cross? Thy will be done. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. It does mean I pray, Lord, deliver me from this cancer. But if he does not, I know that whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world, he will turn to my good. So I embrace the suffering. And then Paul says something really wacky, and I rejoice in it. Rejoice in suffering. That makes us opposites, by the way. We're not of this world. So we don't give up hope when evil comes. We take comfort in faith that God will turn adversity to my good. That's the truth of the cross, and we're comforted here. So we give God all the glory alone. Soli Deo Gloria. So opposites. And we have peace. We have peace with a holy God. For faith attracts these opposites. And it's only by faith alone. And by faith alone, you are delivered from destruction. You have the gift of eternal life. So opposites. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.
At Covenant Reformed Church in Missoula, Montana, we sincerely believe God's Word and faithfully teach it. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information, please visit MissoulaURC.com. That's MissoulaURC.com.